Blog Talk Radio.
Weekend. Before I go any further, let me bring my man in here. My man, P Dawg Paris. What's going on, brother? How are you doing this evening, my man?
I'm good, man. That music got me fired up, ready for football already.
Yeah, a little old school.
I like it.
Yeah, man. We got some stuff going on this week, Paris. We got an hour to get it in. We got the NFL playoffs. We got the NCAA championship. Last night we had the Derrick Rose issue. Not really a lot of individual exciting news going on in the NBA, but we've had some good matchups. But, you know, with the NBA playoff, with the NBA basketball, it really, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter to the playoffs, but this is more like the seeding round. So it really gets big when the playoffs come around. So let's jump it off real quick, Paris. Let's get it going. And let's start with, Let's start with the championship game. It was a championship game. Let's go there. Clemson winning. What I would say was a very good game. I thought Clemson was kind of, once they got down in the fourth, I thought they might have turned tail and been done with it. But they impressed me. They showed me something. Let's not talk like they were a bad team, Paris. I mean, they put up 30-plus last year against Alabama, if I recall. But, you know, everybody was counting Alabama as the greatest team ever and the greatest defense. Well, I won't say the greatest team ever, but I know they were saying the greatest defense ever. There was some talk about the switching of offensive coordinators with Alabama. Alabama put up 31 points, so I'm apt to just leave that to the side when they still put up 30-something points. What was your take on last night's game?
That Deshaun Watson is a bad man. I mean, you know, honestly, you know, going into that game, you could tell, you know, from the interviews with the Clemson players that they, you know, felt like they sort of had him last year and let him off the hook, and they weren't going to make that mistake again this year. Deshaun Watson stepped up big. You know, I'm sure we'll get into the more of the draft stuff as we get there, but as far as I'm concerned, that's the number one quarterback coming out. Now, does that mean he's a number 5 guy, a number 10 guy, a number 15 guy, a number 20 guy? I don't know. Mel Kiper and all the smart dudes will let us know that in a couple months. But for my money, best quarterback in college right now. Very good game. I don't think you can blame any of that on the change in offensive coordinator. Like you said, they scored 31 points. And my main two takeaways is the clutchness of Deshaun Watson and the inability to throw the ball by Jalen Hurts. And, you know, I'm not an Alabama fan, so I don't exactly know what they have, you know, as far as recruiting and a depth chart. But, hey, all they do is load up with 5-star guys. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's more of a quarterback competition going in the next season. Because the young man, the last 4 to 5 weeks, he just struggles throwing the football. You know, when he's running, he looks good. But when he has to set his puppies and throw – it's like danger. But he's only a freshman, too. So maybe a lot of that can be taken care of with just natural maturity. But great game, man. Great. I don't know. Can we call that a classic? I don't know. You know, winning on the last second drive.
I think it'll be a classic in 5 to 10 years.
Okay.
I don't believe in calling stuff. It will be a classic. I'm no fool. It was like you said, it was a great game. It came down to the last few seconds. The back and you had arguably, depending on who you talk to, the best defense ever on one side. You have one of the top quarterbacks in the draft showing his wares. And showing you, and it's like I said in our Bears group, he might have been staring down his receivers, but then but he got it done.
Let me make a point of that real quick. It always cracks me up this time of year when guys, and we all do it. I do it to a certain degree. Also, everybody serves to like a scouting expert. They say things like this guy stared down his receivers. Well, I'm like, if he's throwing to the guys and they're open, what's the problem with that? You can't have it both ways. And now in that Bears group, there's just some real anti-Deshaun Watson type stuff going on. Why? I don't know. But you can't have a kid go out there and in 2 years put 900 yards on Alabama with, 7 touchdowns and zero interceptions, and then say he stared down receivers. You don't throw for 900 yards and zero interceptions in 2 games against Alabama if you're staring down receivers. That lets me know he's making proper reads and getting the ball to where they need to go.
I disagree with that. He was staring down receivers. People don't have to like it. He was staring down receivers. The key is that they were wide open. So to your point, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter that he was staring down receivers because they were wide open.
Usually when we say a guy stare down receivers is, when a team is usually like in a zone, a receiver goes, he sits down there in the zone, he squats. The quarterback is looking at him, a linebacker slides in front of him, and he throws the ball and the linebacker sitting there. That's usually when you get the stare down receivers, tag. You don't get that when you're looking at a guy and you're like, okay, this is my guy, he's one-on-one, this is the play we want. He's running a slant. I'm waiting for him to come out his break, and bam, there goes the ball. That's a good read in a throw. That's what you're supposed to do. I mean, it's not his fault if Alabama didn't move him off and make him, go to different reads or make him do other things. I mean, he just did his job. I just feel like for some reason when it comes to that kid, and I don't know what it is, but as much as that Alabama defense is hyped, if there was other quarterbacks in the nation that went out and did that to them, not one, but 2 years in a row, we'd already be fitting them for Hall of Fame jackets. Not saying me or you. Most in the media would be loving them and talk about how great they are, and everything would be reversed. Look what he did to 5 first-round draft picks. This guy has ice water. Yada, yada, yada. You know the cliches. But for some reason, when it comes to Deshaun Watson, people just don't want to give him that credit. I had a guy tell me today, he threw 17 touchdowns. I mean, interceptions. I said, fair enough. He also threw 41 touchdown passes. Yeah, but the scouting service I looked at said they only count the interceptions and they put 10 on there. I was like, how the heck does that even make any bit of sense? How can you not count a guy's touchdowns? You only count his interceptions. And who came up with this magical number of 10? And please let me know what scouts said that, so I know they never used it.
I've never heard the 10 thing, but I have heard that in scouting, they look for your negatives more so than your positives. So they can figure out what the worst possible scenario or what the worst common denominator is with your game, and then they work their way up. I've heard that before. Now I don't know what that's about.
I've heard that. Because believe me, as we go through this process, it's going to move up and down the board. We're going to hear certain guys can't make certain throws. We're going to hear that this guy can't throw the flats. We're going to hear that, this guy has a problem on the deep out. Mike Mayock and all those smart guys, they'll make us real smart between now and, I believe, what is it, March. So, you know, we have time. But that's definitely coming. You know, guys are going to rise. Guys are going to fall. It's just normal. It's, you know, this time of year. That's what happens. It's just normal protocol. Like I said, I don't know where the quarterbacks are going to shake out. Beginning of the year, I was told the guy down in Iowa was going to be the best prospect. You see how that worked out. They don't even talk about that bum no more. You know?
I don't even know his name. So,
yeah. I think his name is Beathard or something. But going into the season, he was supposed to be the guy. But the thing that amazes me the most out of Watson and Trubisky is the Kaiser kid. Not to get too far off subject, but I'll say this and we can move on because I know we only have an hour. But I've never seen a kid that struggled in college, didn't really produce, had a 12-11 record as a starter, couldn't beat the likes of Temple and Navy, get so much love as far as being an elite quarterback on the next level. I can't remember. Maybe you can if you reach back in your memory banks to think of a guy that struggled in college, but yet the talking head seemed to love him and sort of ignored all his failures. That's what makes the whole Deshaun Watson thing crazy. It's like with Kaiser, I got a guy that did nothing. His numbers are average. His win-loss record is barely over 500. He lost to some very bad teams, and they love him. Then you have another kid who's going out here and doing what he does against top-notch competition and winning national championships, and we hate this guy, but we love the other guy.
Well, I guess it would really.
That's the only thing that makes sense.
It would depend on who we is. I can't say that I've heard the same hatred or negativity towards him that you've heard. You listen to a little more sports radio than me as far as the national broadcast and things go. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to state the obvious and bring up the elephant in the room. Is it because he's black? I don't know.
See, I didn't want to go there.
I know you didn't, and I'm just and I'm not going there. I'm simply throwing an option out there. I don't know.
I tell you what, I didn't want to go there, but since you opened the door, I'm just going to go ahead and peek my head in it real quick. And
I have a feeling you're going to before the peek head in.
If his name was Trubisky, I don't think we'd be having this talk. I think if his name was Trubisky and you swap the situations, I think it would be a completely different tone. I think he would be a winner. I think he would be a class act. I think the fact that he graduated in 2.5 years would make him a Rhodes Scholar. His IQ would be, quote unquote, and I'm doing the air quotations, off the charts. He would be a leader. He would be a winner. He would be all of that. And if you put Deshaun Watson in North Carolina, they say he only started a year. How come he didn't beat out the other quarterbacks in North Carolina earlier? I mean, this is North Carolina we talked about. How come he didn't beat those guys out? And we haven't seen that.
I think in fairness, people have brought up, I've heard about the graduating in 2.5 years. I've heard about the winning attitude. I've heard that he's a great kid, that he has a great attitude, great personality. I've heard all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My only concern is, why is it – but again, I'll say this, and you and I have differing opinions about the media, but I find it I don't do this. I don't do this. This dude was a second-round pick going into last night's game. He comes out the game, the number one pick of the draft. No.
Right.
No, that's not how that's not how it works, man. And if he had gone in as the number one pick and had a bad game, that doesn't mean he's out of the first round. That's not how it works. So
right.
I think right now what we're in a case of, we're living in a moment of PIM or POM. We're living in a moment of POM, a prisoner of the moment. Like you said, in a couple of weeks, the Mel Kuypers of the world will talk to us. They'll let us know what they have. The GMs will come out. They'll be on ESPN discussing the draft. And we'll start to get into the nooks and crannies of what is and what ain't. And that's when we'll get a better feel for what he is, because I collect tickets for a living and you were in the Air Force. So neither one of us can sit here with any assuredness and say what the kid is or isn't. What I can say is he's a leader of young men, and he's a winner, and he deserves props as such, in my opinion.
And that's all I'm saying. Just give the young man his props, because, you know, we've seen other guys get props, you know, like that Mr. Tebow guy, but, you know, that's a completely different story. So, yeah, we can move on to the NFL. Congrats to Clemson.
Hey.
Congrats to Dabo Swinney. For a second, I thought he was going to get tight and blow that game, but he didn't. So props to him.
Let me throw this out there real quick. You were mentioning the quarterbacks for Alabama. Well, since the kid Hurts is a freshman, I'm assuming nobody on the roster currently can beat him out. But coming in, you have Mac Jones out of Jacksonville, Florida, 6'3 quarterback. He was a 4-star. And from Honolulu, Hawaii, 6'1. Tua, man, I'm going to give it a go. Tua Tagovailoa. It's a Hawaiian name. Don't sue me. I think the key with Hurts, and then I'll be done, is that you can look at his flaws, and he had a few of them. The kid really isn't a throwing quarterback, and he's in a system that they really kind of like to throw. Sark isn't known for – well, neither was Kiffin, but Sark isn't known for a running offense with the quarterback. So he's either going to have to do a lot of work over the offseason, or he's going to have to fight for his job next year. And it might be a transfer in. It might not even be one of those freshmen. Because if I'm a guy at another school that was highly rated, highly recruited, and I'm sitting behind another guy and I'm not getting any run, or a graduate, more than likely a senior that can graduate and play immediately, I'm looking at Alabama as a place to go. That's just me. But let's keep it moving. Like I said, we're only down to – we only have an hour. We had the NFL playoffs this week. We had four games, three that were worth watching. I mean, from the outset, at least three that I really cared about. But let's kick it off with the first game of the weekend, Oakland at Houston. We had a third-string quarterback going against a quarterback that was benched and came back to start only because of injury. Houston and Oakland. Houston won 27-14. What was your take from that game, Paris?
Yawn, waste of time, 3 hours, I never get back. It's pretty much like we called it. It was overmatched. Oakland's offense didn't have a chance, you know. Texas really didn't impress me. It's just Oakland just couldn't do anything, you know. So we can move on to the next game.
Well, I brought the mood down a little bit with that, so let me bring it back up.
Okay.
All right. I think that'll bring the mood back up. That'll get the blood flowing again. In our second game Saturday evening, we had Detroit at Seattle. With Seattle having a runaway win, 26-6. A lot of Lions fans are crying about the ref. I will admit, on the ball, Richardson touchdown, there was a face mask. But damn, man, he caught that ball with one hand below his waist, barely looking. So that was
right.
Intense. And I think at the end of the day, Detroit kind of, and I know you said it either, I think you said it last week or you said it in the Sports Authority and other stuff, Facebook group, people look it up. I know you mentioned that Detroit was backing into the playoffs. And when you look at their play falls right into the definition of what you stated. They weren't playing well offensively or defensively. And then when it got into the playoffs, when it mattered and everything amped up, that backing in, so to speak, showed. Where were you? What was your take on that game?
I think Matt Stafford now is 1-24 lifetime against quarterback teams to finish the season with over 500 record. I'm not sure if that's just for outside, but the guy doesn't beat winning teams. That's sort of who he's been his whole career. Nothing has changed. It's just Detroit, and it's just Matthew Stafford. He, in my opinion, sort of been a disappointment, if you ask me. I know he had that 1 5,000-yard season, but, I mean, otherwise, as far as the overall number one draft pick, underwhelming so far, you know, to say the least. You know, the guys never won a playoff game. So they look like how I expected them to look. And Seattle did just enough to win. But Thomas Rawls rushed for, what, 161 yards or something like that? I mean, heck, that was a heck of a day for him on the ground. Russell Wilson was efficient. The defense is what it was. That kid out there, corner shed, everybody attacked him. The free safety had really missed Earl Thomas because he does a lot for them, cleaning up everything, and they're going to run into trouble in the second round down in the ATL. But good quality win, pretty much what I think most of us, as far as fans, expected to see. Nothing too surprising
now,
on either end.
Let me mention a stat, or I don't know if it's a stat, but let me mention something I heard this weekend. You keep up with stuff like this a little bit more than me, so I'm sure you knew about it. And if you didn't, here it is. It was somewhere between 4 and 6 players that Seattle had as starters that weren't even drafted. Baldwin, I think maybe, was one. Thomas Rawls was one. And there was a couple other players. I think one or two were on defense. Russell Wilson was a later draft pick. And I just want to say, when you look at a team like Seattle, they've drafted extremely well. When you look at teams like the Patriots, they've drafted extremely well. I think the point that I'm getting to here is that, and I'm saying this as a Bears fan, actually, so let me just put that out there as well. Your scouting department needs to be on point because there's more to the draft than rounds 1 through 6. I mean, there's more to your future than rounds 1 through 7.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are not only getting it right with their draft picks, they're getting it right in free agency. When you can say you have 4, 5, or 6, I can't remember which one, I don't want to lie, but when you have that many guys that are starting that weren't drafted pairs, it says something about the people you pay to do that job of finding gems or diamonds in the rough. Did you know that, and what are your thoughts on it, whether you did or didn't? What were your thoughts on that?
I had heard something like that, but what it speaks more to is in today's NFL, if you're going to have one of these, when your scouting really, really has to be on point is when you have one of these big-time quarterbacks. Because with the amount of salary they make, they can take up to 20 to 25% of your cap space. So you're going to have to be very shrewd. And there's going to be a lot of positions where these guys are going to be underpaid. And you know, you mentioned the teams that's good at it, and now I give you two that haven't been good at it, and that's New Orleans and now the Indianapolis Colts. You see what happened when a team like Indianapolis Colts has botched the draft, has traded a number one draft pick for, you know, a guy like Trent Richardson. And now that Andrew Luck is making the big money, you look around and you go, hey, what are we going to do? Because there's a lack of talent and a lack of cap space. When you look at Seattle, you know, they got a doggone tight end playing left tackle. You know, now he's about the second coming to Walker Jones, but he's definitely serviceable. And, you know, it goes to
what
you said.
That's what it was. It was one or two of their offensive linemen that weren't drafted.
Yeah, you know, and that's what, because remember, you know, they traded Max Unger for Jimmy Graham, and that was the position where they figured, hey, we're going to have to make it up in the draft. But like you said, we see it in New England all the time. You know, it's like when they let go of Revis, and we were like, what the heck are they going to do? And it's like, hey, what was this Malcolm Butler dude? You know, they always have something going on there in New England. And this year, there's already rumblings that they might let Malcolm Butler go, and I pray they do. Ryan Pace, get on line number one. And if they do, I'm sure Bill has another cornerback that we've never heard of that we're going to be going, hey, where the heck did they get this dude from? You know, good teams, they draft well. You're right. There's more to the draft. You know, the NFL draft, none of those picks are throwaways. And even the undrafted free agents is a big deal. You know, what undrafted free agents can you sign after the draft? So you're correct. You got to have the right people making those calls and making those picks. Agree,
100%. All right. Let's keep it moving. We had another matchup, our Sunday matchup. So we had Miami at Pittsburgh. Not an interesting game in the least, but as a Bears fan, again, I was looking forward to see what Adam Gase could do with Matt Moore at quarterback. Matt Moore threw for almost 300 yards. So, he was serviceable, but he wasn't ready. Miami wasn't ready overall, and Pittsburgh did what Pittsburgh does. Here's my question for you. And I had kind of turned away by the time the game was over, so I really can't speak to it. Why was Ben in the game? What was it? I mean, in your opinion, should he have been out? Like I said, I had turned away by that time. Should he have been out? I heard that Tomlin took the blame. Was there something for him to take the blame for?
Yeah, because he sort of had him in the game, sort of had him throwing a pass on third down with the game over. He sort of re-aggravated an old injury. Now, not a big deal. He's already out of the boot today, so, I mean, he's good to go. It's not like he's going to scramble for 70 yards this upcoming weekend anyway. But he also made a very questionable call earlier in the game where he pretended like he was going to – they were going to go for it on fourth down. You know how they do that whole thing. We're going to go for it on fourth down, you know, then they don't. But then he called a timeout. They only had one timeout left. Now, the game was sort of in hand, so it really didn't make a big deal. But Mike Tomlin, he does things to where it just makes you scratch your head sometimes and go, what the heck was he thinking? You know, I don't know if he's trying to be the smartest dude in the room or what. It's sort of like his whole infatuation for going for 2 points. You know, I'm glad he sort of chilled out on that as the season has progressed. But sometimes you just wonder that in a big game, Mike Tomlin will cost them the game by just doing something crazy.
Right.
And he really didn't have to be in the game. He really didn't have to. Otherwise, your analysis on the game was spot on. You knew Pittsburgh was going to be hungry. They had already got the wood from Miami earlier. They came out. They did what they had to do. Matt Moore proved why he's a backup. You know, hey, he's serviceable, but really not going to win too many games, especially in the playoffs on the road.
And I'll add this. Their game plan was the opposite of what I thought it would be. I thought they would come out, run first, and set up the pass. I did not expect them to come out pass first, and you got to give Brown credit on that screen. You know, he made that play what it was. Props to Pittsburgh for their win, and we'll move on to the New York Giants at Green Bay. Another game. I remember I asked you if I could take off work this past Saturday to watch the game, and I think by the end of it, we all agreed that this wasn't the week. And when you look at the scores of the game, 27-14, 26-6, 30-12, 38-13, yeah, it's a good thing I went to work.
Yeah, but I said this will be the game to see, and this was a good game, even though the score doesn't quite indicate it, but it was a good game. Odell Beckham went out there and did what – I mean, it just seemed like karma was going to come back, and this dude was going to drop a couple passes, and it was all going to go back to the boat thing, and you just knew that was going to happen because it's sports. That's just the way sports seems to play out. You know, originally I picked the Giants, but then Sunday when we was doing our little pool day, I said, nope, I'm going with Green Bay because you know what? I just didn't think that the Giants could go in there and beat them three times in the playoffs. That just seems like too much, and I just got tired of the whole – here's another Eli, you know, Giants run. And I'm like, nah, that's not going to happen three times. You know, what's odds of that happening three times? So, good game by the Packers.
I think,
you know, Aaron Rodgers did what Aaron Rodgers does. As Bears fans, we see it twice a year.
You have to wonder, though, when, or I shouldn't say when. You have to wonder if or when their inability to run, and quite honestly, their stubbornness when it will bounce up and bite. You cannot honestly just pass.
You know, I've watched Green Bay do that, and Brady throw the ball 50 doggone times to be successful. And I think it gets to a certain point to where, it's hard because me and you, you know, we come from the same field pretty much. We sort of old school that, you know, we still believe that, hey, you still got to, you know, pound that rock from time to time. And I agree with you. In a perfect world, yes, you're right. you do need to have some type of running game, right? But then sometimes if you have a guy like an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady and you really can't run the ball, heck, why even mess around with it? They use those short passes to supplement their run game, and they just play to their strengths. And I guess they figure if we're going to go down, I'm going to go down going to my strength as much as possible. You know, but, you know, in a perfect world, I think they will. In a perfect world, I think everybody would like to have balance. That's the word I'm looking for. You know, you would like to have balance where your quarterback throws maybe 30 times, your running back runs 25, you know, that's that nice flow. But, hey, Corey, if you can't run, man, why even mess around with it? Why even mess around with it?
Well, let's move ahead. Let's move ahead, Paris. Let's get to the divisional round next week. Let's get a few predictions. We have Seattle at Atlanta, Houston at New England, Pittsburgh at Kansas City, Green Bay at Dallas. Let's start off with the Saturday afternoon matchup.
Ooh-wee.
Seattle at Atlanta in the Georgia Dome. I would normally say that I'm still looking forward to it, but if Seattle was at full strength, Seattle versus Atlanta would be a matchup because you'd be looking at one of the top defenses against one of the top offenses. Seattle's not at full strength, and they've shown cracks in the foundation when they don't have their safeties playing together. I'm picking Atlanta in this game right now. Who do you have?
Oh, I'm definitely going Atlanta. Atlanta 0-1 from earlier this year. I think Matt Ryan is 1-4 in the playoffs, so he's due to win another game. And I think Seattle will be ripe for the picking, but I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a close game, though. I think Russ is going to keep them in it, but I think that Matt Ryan will make two big throws that's going to decide the game. And that free safety that they have for Seattle, that guy is not very good. Like I said, that other cornerback, Schnee, he's not good. They're going to have to put Sherman on Julio, you know, unless Julio moves to the slot where he doesn't go. They really don't have no choice, but they're going to have to do that. Otherwise, he's going to kill them. But, man, Atlanta can run the ball, too. You know, that two-headed monster they got at running back isn't no joke. You know, Freeman and our Coleman. I hate to
again,
say
you know,
Atlanta fans annoy me, but those dudes are hogs, man. They are hogs.
I don't know where Freeman was drafted. I think Coleman was – what was Coleman?
I want to say second round. I can't even remember where the heck Freeman came from. He just sort of showed up one day.
Yeah. Well, I'm taking Atlanta as well. And before I mention the next game, just figured I'd get you hyped up for the bring down.
I like
Houston
that.
At New England.
I like that.
Houston at New England. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Now in theory, Houston has the number one defense in it. They have the number one defense in the NFL, right?
It's up there. But they don't have any JJ Watt. How long has Watt been out?
Oh, for about 10 weeks.
Okay, so I'll still give them credibility for that ranking then. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, now they have the future bear at cornerback, A.J. Bouye. Keep an eye on him.
So in this game, we have two future bear cornerbacks. We have Malcolm Butler as well.
And right. But definitely A.J. Bouye. It came out that Pace tried to get him last year. The Patriots had the right of first refusal, I believe, and kept him because Pace was sniffing around him last year. That dude can play, man. And it lets you know Pace had his thinking cap on. That kid is nice. But, you know, they have a defense. They say defense travels, indoors, outdoors, bad weather. Can they run the ball? Nah, Corey, I can't make a case for it, man. Patriots by 10. I was trying, but I think Brady and the boys are going to be fired up. I think he's going to throw the ball 45 times, and I say 27-14.
I think you're giving Houston's offense way too much credit.
Something happens, they score. I don't know.
The one thing for sure is that their offense struggles. And even though they do have the number one defense, again, I go back to us being Bears fans. We've seen years where you've had really, really good defense and a bad offense. And at some point, that just wears on the defense, man. When the offense is three and out, bad field position, you know, throw a pick, and the defense has got their back against the wall from the jump.
Right.
I think that's Houston's problem. I think New England wins is going away. I think it's at least three touchdowns. Yeah, that's enough talk about that game. Now, here are the two games that on Sunday. Sunday is going to be buy your pizza, get your popcorn, whatever your chicken wing, whatever it is you want. Cook that early and keep it warm. Pittsburgh and Kansas City,
Green Bay,
and Dallas. Oh,
you must be fired up for these because your voice got a little high pitch.
This is what I wait for, man.
Fired up. Okay.
Paris, this is what I wait. I mean,
all
right. We sat and watched the Bears suffer all year. I watched the Browns suffer. Man, I'm waiting for this. This is what I've been waiting for. Pittsburgh and Kansas City. Marquee matchup. Two of the oldest teams in the league. It gets no, and then you got Green Bay and Dallas. It gets no better than that. Pittsburgh and Kansas City. I think I picked Kansas City. Who do you have in this game, Paris?
Now, with both these picks, I got a disclaimer. I got my football brain and then who I want to win for my own personal reasons. My football brain tells me the Kansas City will get revenge at home because when Ben gets on the road, sometimes he looks like Alex Smith. And Kansas City is sort of due. But I picked Pittsburgh to win the Super Bowl, so I'm going to ride with them. And I'm going to bank that Alex Smith is Alex Smith, and he proves why no team will ever be able to win anything significant with him at quarterback at some point in time during this game. But this should be a great matchup. I mean, we got Marcus Peters against Antonio Brown. You know, the first day, Antonio Brown did his thing, but I'm sure that, you know, the young boy got that in his memory banks. Kansas City has a real good defense. Pittsburgh's defense been playing better. It's going to be all red out there. Yeah, I agree with you, Corey. I'm hyped for this one. But I'm going to go Pittsburgh 26, Kansas City 20.
All right. I'm going to stick with Pittsburgh. I just think they're going to – I mean, I'm sticking with Kansas City. I think they're going to pull it off. They're at home. Their defense is pretty solid. And for the record, Pittsburgh's defense has improved as the year has gone on as well. And I know you said that, you know, Ben is out of the boot. And that doesn't mean much to me at this point, and I don't mean that as a negative. I mean it purely as a positive. Because Ben has always shown an aptitude to play through pain and play, you know, injured, quite honestly. So
you
don't
know
what it means that he's out of the booth.
You know, another reason I want Pittsburgh to win, quite honestly, too, is when we go to Championship Sunday, you know, I've always felt like Ben is the only quarterback that can go into New England and win. And even if they don't win, New England will give us a game. Where I feel like Kansas City will go in there, and by halftime we'll all be playing Madden and talking about, you know, what time does the next game come on. Because I feel like Kansas City will go into Foxborough and get dump trucked. That's another reason I want Pittsburgh to win.
You mentioned part of my problem with two TVs in a base. Like right now I'm literally playing Madden on one TV, watching a news show on another TV, and doing this radio show. I multitask like a mug, bro. I keep something going on over here. But I can't disagree with you. From that standpoint, I feel better about Pittsburgh at New England than I do about Kansas City at New England. I won't argue with that.
Because you just don't – you know what's going to happen to check down Charlie. You know he's going to throw two picks. He's going to do a bunch of stupid stuff, and Kansas City's offense is going to completely just stop functioning. Just come to a halt.
We'll see. We will see. We will see. Let's move to the last game, and we're down our last 20 minutes here. Green Bay at Dallas. You have the young guns, Zeke Elliott, Dak Prescott, and you have the old Grizzly vet in Aaron Rodgers, and we have a broken rib situation. I think, was it broken or fractured rib situation with Jordy Nelson? We won't know anything more about that. Right, yeah, okay. We won't know anything more about that till Saturday. If he can practice Saturday. Now, I've never had broken ribs or fractured ribs, but from the people that I've been around that have, that's tough, man. It's hard to breathe, hard to sleep, hard to move.
Right.
And as information, I was reading that he actually had on a flak jacket when he broke his rib. If he's out there, I'll pour out a little liquor for his rib because, you know, it's not like the NFL. It's not like they'll be aiming for his rib the first chance they get, right, Perry?
Of course not. Why would they do that?
I'm taking Dallas in this game with apprehension because this is the playoffs, and we always know that the playoffs are another animal. And then when you add to it that Dallas is starting a rookie quarterback and a rookie halfback, you know, they're going to have to prove something. They're going to have to prove that they can do it. They've done it during the regular season, but they're going up against a guy that's done it in the playoffs, even though they're not necessarily on the field at the same time. I think this is going to be a great matchup. Again, the second matchup between two of the, you know, older teams in the league. I'm taking Dallas. I'm taking Dallas with a little bit of apprehension. Part of it is I think they can win. Part of it is I hate Green Bay. I'll be honest. Who do you have in this game?
Okay. I'm taking Green Bay.
Okay.
I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to say the heck with this running game. I think he's going to throw the ball 45 times. I think he's going to throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. Dak Prescott only has 2 turnovers at home all season. I think he matches this game. There's going to be 95,000 people in there. You got me?
347-673-8599. Call in. You got us the last few minutes. We have a couple callers on. If you want to get in, press the number one button. Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay. And I think that Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you got it. You got it.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Dak only having 2 turnovers at home all year, I think that he matches that total this game, and I just think that the Packers win this one.
Okay.
Plus, they
got from earlier this year. We'll see what happens Saturday, or that would be Sunday afternoon. Real quick, again, we're down our last 15 minutes here. The Derrick Rose situation, it's news because Derrick Rose is a former MVP. It's news because it's with the New York Knicks. He's back with the team. He's going to be fine. Yes, he says he had a family emergency. I don't know what was really going on, obviously. But what were your thoughts on this?
As far as leaving and not telling your boss, that's never a good thing. You know, that's never the way to try to handle things. You know, now he said that he needed space, but I'm like, okay, here's my thing. And that's why, you know, last night when the story first came out, that's why I'm like, okay, let's let this thing settle. Because, and that's why, you know, I think then we had a little misunderstanding. And I think you thought that I was saying that in some way, you know, it's okay for you to leave, depending on the circumstance. No, all I was saying was the circumstance might determine the level of punishment that you receive. But there's no way in the world that you get out of this unscathed. Personally, I think the Knicks dropped the ball just by finding him. because I would still suspend him. I guess that's where I'm different.
That's where I differ from you. I don't really care what the circumstances are. It could have been a death in the family. You still tell your boss you're not coming to work. And that was my thing. I don't care what it was. I don't care. You don't. I don't want to compare him to us, but here's what I will say. They're paying you $21 million. They're owed a phone call. Or, God forbid, when they called you, you at least owe them a pickup. Hey, man, I got some family stuff going on. I'm sorry. I was rushing. I had things going on. I was talking to family members, and I lost track. I apologize. You at least do that. He didn't.
See, here's my
and because of that.
Right. I don't think he deserves, but to me, and I go back to my days in the military, a lot of times for punishment, we always looked at the circumstances of why the person did it. Now, this is a scenario I'm looking at. Now, last night, when it first broke, they made it sound like Devin Hornacek had some issues as far as him being benched in the fourth quarter of the game against Indianapolis. And at first, I'm like,
that doesn't quite. I guess I went back and read a couple stories that actually happened. So, yeah.
Yeah, they said to him and Hornacek at work. So I'm like, okay, the thing, he played the game after that. Well, I'm sorry. That game was against Milwaukee where he was benched in the fourth quarter. And I just rolled that like it. You know, the Rob Baker team playing. But then next night against Indiana, he was back starting normal minutes. You know, they got blown out, but it was the team ball. And, you know, they all sort of sat down at the same time. So, at first, that was sort of the deal. They said that somehow him and the coach had a blow-up. But then the dad came out that, you know, it was a family emergency. And I was just trying to wrap my hands around it, like, okay, because, you know, I'm like, okay, is this a situation where it's like, hey, you get a call, hey, mama, when we rush your mama to the hospital, you know, she's having a stroke. Okay, I'm out of here. But like you said, and I agree with you 100%, you got to call. If you can't call your agent to tell your agent to call. Tell one of your boys to call somebody or to send a text or to do something. And then when they try to call you back, you say, hey, I need my space. And that's why I'm still going to suspend you. The only thing we sort of differ on is that I do feel like, depending on your reasons, after you explain to me what happened and why you had to leave, I'm going to take that into consideration. You're still going to be punched because I'm with you 100%. You can't just not call. And like you said, shoot me a text. Do something. You know, you got
to. You know what I said to myself?
Or dead, you know?
I said to myself, it's Derrick Rose going Derrick Rose. He could have just said it was a family emergency and left it alone. But no. In true Derrick Rose fashion, he had to follow that up with, I just needed some space. I say that to say this. We don't know that it was a family emergency. I'm not ready to take his word for it because if it was a family emergency, you don't follow up with, I needed space. You say it was a family emergency and you leave it there.
You know the only
and I'm not saying he's lying. I'm not saying he's lying. Yeah. I'm just saying Derrick Rose, it's hard to tell with that dude. We've watched him for years say stuff that made no sense. And it wasn't that he was lying. It was just that he couldn't formulate what he was thinking into a sentence that we could grasp, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it. I don't know. I just can't give him the benefit of the doubt.
The reason why I'm going to think it was a family emergency is because he had to meet with the Knicks, right? Now, the Knicks know what really happened. He's had to tell them what really happened. And for them to only find him, you know, they're in charge of an organization, and they know that, okay, you know, we got a set of precedents here. So for them to only find them, that leads me to believe, okay, that he really did legitimately have a family emergency, and they try to show him, you know, some type of compassion. Because I think if it would have just been BS, and he just was butthurt, and just jumped on a plane, and, you know, I had to go home and talk to my mama because my coach yelled at me. I think the Knicks handled this completely different. You know, I think the
Devil's
Knicks would go in. I think that's what the Knicks would do.
Let, let me ask you a question, playing devil's advocate, and I'm gonna make a statement before I ask the question. And actually, my statement is gonna be agreeing with something you said earlier. The Knicks played themselves in this situation. They, instead of coming out and saying, "Hey, you know, Derek is dealing with something. He needed a night away." They said, "Well, you know, you'll have to talk to Derek. We don't know where he is." They put themselves in a bad position. I make that statement to say this. I don't disagree with what you're saying as far as, you know, maybe they just got the reasoning and whatever. But it also makes me, if again, I'm playing devil's advocate, it makes me say, do you think that maybe they were in such a bad fit that they had to do that?
I think that, quite honestly, they made a mistake that the remember when the Bulls came out during the first injury, right? And they said, "Hey, we're clear."
Yep.
You know, the doctors are clear him. Just sort of up to him now, right? Now, looking back on that, they probably should have said that because they took themselves in a bad situation in there. Now, if you remember his meniscus tear after that, right afterwards, what did they say? He's having surgery, he's done. That was it. They took all the pressure off. They had to start. And you're right. The Knicks, quite honestly, I think were just being honest because they didn't know where the heck this dude was. And nobody could get a hold of him. They didn't know if he was alive or dead. They were pulling Derrick Rose and just telling us the truth. You know, now, looking back, maybe they could have said it a different way. But they weren't telling the truth because nobody knew where he was. My uncle called me last night, you know, we were talking, and I was like, "Well, you know," I'm like, "the dude is in a free agent contract." I'm like, "He's crazy, but he's not stupid." I'm like, "I don't think he's going to do that paid, you know." I'm like, "He's going to be a free agent. He could be taking millions off his plate if he just, you know, like I said, my coach yelled at me, I need to go home and put my head on mama's lap." I'm like, "I would pray he would be, you know, that crazy."
Let me ask you a question, O'Pair. And I want you to answer honest. Would you be surprised if you found out that he went to Chicago because he was mad at the coach and just wasn't happy with stuff? I put it to you like this.
This is the type of story where between the boys in Chicago and the boys in New York, they ain't gonna get to the bottom of it. You best believe, because now the Chicago reporter's like, "Hey, we can run Keith Rose up again." The New York reporter's like, "Not so fast." Frank Isola and the boys, we might not know tomorrow, we might not know next week, but sooner or later we're gonna find out exactly what the heck happened. They will find out. I will be very disappointed if the whole family thing, if he's 100% making it up, and if he just went there because his feelings was hurt.
We'll see.
You know,
I forgot to mention there was a guy on Facebook that I'm friends with actually mentioned on Facebook, "Man, Derek is here," and this was last night. And I didn't think anything of it because I was like, "Nah, Derek ain't in Chicago. He might not have gone to practice. Derek ain't in Chicago." And now that we found out that's the truth, now I want to remember who it was. I can't remember who it was because it was somebody who was just a post. And they said, "Why is Derek Rose in the city?" And I just scrolled right past it. I didn't think nothing of it. So now I'm trying to figure out whose post was that. Where did they see him? Now I want to know. Now I want to investigate. I want to break some news, Paris. Derek was at Kenwood Liquors drinking his sorrows away and singing at the barrel with the fire with the old men, singing the, you know, money, 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 money song. I want to break that news, dog. But, man, I got to find out who it was first, so I don't think I'm going to break that. Well, anyway, with that said, man, we're down to our last 5 minutes, Paris. We didn't talk about the FIFA World Cup being expanded. We'll get into that next week so we can have a little bit more time. I don't want to rush into a two-minute conversation about it. Steve Wood is on the line. He didn't press the button, so I'm sure he's listening. Appreciate you calling, Wood. Next week, though, we'll get into that, Paris. We'll get into that FIFA next week and see you know, get your opinions on that. Hopefully Wood will call back next week. We'll get his opinions on that as well. So what are your closing thoughts this week as we get out of here, man?
Thank you, NFL, for giving me a little excitement during this time. You know, but honestly, it was a good college football season. You know, once again, I think the playoffs sort of delivered due to a great championship game. As far as the NBA, like you said, we're getting into, like, the dog days of the NBA. It's going to be good, though, as these races move on, because the bottom of the East, I think, is going to fluctuate all season. We'll get back into it, but I have 8 teams basically for 5 spots, and I think it's gonna make it exciting. I'll sort of embrace it. You know, like I told the boys on NBA Radio, stop trying to figure these teams out and just embrace them for who they are. You can't overreact every time somebody wins 3 games in a row. You go, they've got everything figured out. And then when they lose 3 games in a row, you run, hey, what's wrong with these guys? I don't think they sort of like me saying that because they got real quiet after I said that. But, you know, I think these teams just, that's who they are. But on the bright side, it's going to make for an exciting NBA season until LeBron James gets the point guard that he says that he wants. And, Corey, we had time. Let me ask you something. Hey, man.
What's up?
Now, maybe I'm just petty, right? But
you're petty, but go ahead.
Cleveland needs another shooter, right? There's no way in the world that if I'm Atlanta, I trade them Kyle Korver. Well, I don't get it. I find somebody else to make that deal with. I'm not helping them dudes win another championship. I'm just not doing it.
I don't have an answer for you. I don't really have a response. I don't even remember. What did they get back? Dunleavy?
Well, yeah.
What did they get back? Dunleavy?
And a protected
first-round
draft pick.
So they got nothing?
Pretty much.
Effectively, they got nothing.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I don't have a response. But then again, I'm a Bulls fan, and I'm still waiting for the draft pick from Sacramento. I've been waiting for that for about 8 years now. So who am I to criticize Atlanta for getting a protected draft pick?
Right.
Just being honest. Who am I to criticize? But yeah, I wouldn't want it. There's no way I'm trading. There's no way I'm helping the best. Well, I don't know if they're the best team. Arguably the best team, the defending champion. There's no way I'm trading in my conference to one of the best teams in the league, one of the best shooters in the league. I'm not doing it. But again, I collect tickets for a living, so what do I know, Paris? I deal with passes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, I'm not qualified. So, yeah, that's that. But next week, Paris, we got some big football games coming up this weekend. College football season is over. College hoops is getting on strong. We're into the conference schedule. And next week, I think we're going to have to spend a little bit more time on college basketball. Like I said, we're going to spend some time dealing with the FIFA situation, the expansion of the World Cup, and we'll talk playoff football. Next week, I think I'm going to be on a different schedule, so I think we'll be able to go back to our hour and a half. Last week we went for about, what, almost 2 hours last week? Almost 2 hours for the last week.
Well, you got to remember last week. Last week we found out that the whole NBA was rigged.
That's right.
Well, all sports was rigged. That's right. All sports was rigged.
Yeah,
that's what we found out last week.
Yeah. He didn't call back this week.
No, he didn't.
Everybody. That was a good, like, you want callers, and then you're like, nah, I'd rather just, I don't want callers. Not if they're going to tell me the whole NBA is rigged and all sports is set up and it's all – basically what he said for those listening before we get out of here, he said that all sports is WWE. The players know
everything.
Who's going to win. The only people that don't know are the fans. And then at some point he went against his own point by saying they share money. And then my response was, well, if they're sharing money, why do they need to rig it? Everybody's getting the same money.
Pretty much.
And it was just silent.
So, yeah. All right. Well, we're out of here, man. We are out of here. We'll be back next week, same time, same number. If you're listening on the website, same website. So for my man P-Dawg, I'm Corey G. We're out of here. Till next week. Peace.
Peace.
Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they feeling, came across the